Everyone's watching. When you're where I am, everything's timeless. And I don't wanna be somebody without your body close to me. And if it wasn't you, I wouldn't want anybody close to me. Cause I'm an animal, animal, like animals like you. And I don't wanna be somebody without your body. Chapter 3. Week 6. The glass box is almost suffocating. That's the point, of course. 5 omegas packed together in heat, with more chemical pheromones being pumped in. Don't try this at home, kids, Wei Wuxian thinks wryly to himself. He's pretty sure that the amount in here is an illegal concentration. He can tell that they're fake pheromones. They have that tinge of a brassy smell, but his body is responding to it all the same. His skin feels like it could burn through the clothes he's wearing already. His choice of outfit is a set of lightweight robes with long socks and slip-on shoes. It's a bit of an odd choice. The first year he competed, he looked like an undressed college student in a bathrobe, but the stylist had quickly adapted after that. And he looks more like he's wearing a slutty Hanfu cosplay now, which is fine by him. Most of the contestants choose something comfortable, or survival wear, much more suited to the idea of camping outside for 2 weeks. But Wei Wuxian would rather the versatility of being able to get his clothes on and off as quickly as he can to deal with his heat. Keeping his clothes lightweight so that they dry quickly if he has to wash them out, which he will, frequently. He's on a tropical island. It's not like he's going to freeze if he has to sleep naked outside for a few days. He does his best to encourage everyone else to wear survival wear, though. The precious few seconds gained by an alpha trying to shed layers of clothing gives an omega time to act if it's not an alpha they're interested in. Anyway, the point is that he's wearing silky robes, but they already feel like sandpaper against the most sensitive parts of him. His shoulders, his ribs, his nipples. He's not visibly sweating, but he feels like he's burning up from the inside. The restraints, more for dramatic flair than anything else, stop him from prowling around the box, which he would likely be doing if he wasn't strapped down. There are drones with cameras flitting around the inside of the box, focusing on each of their faces, probably as an announcer talks the audience through all the contestants. But the drones don't do anything to capture the smell of multiple omegas in heat. It's like a steam room in here, everyone's reaction to the pheromones collectively causing the tension to rise, as each of the omegas can smell the others, and their bodies react to try to make themselves more attractive to alphas. Never mind that Wei Wuxian does not want to attract any alphas. Huaisong on his left looks pale, trying to close his eyes and take deep, calming breaths, even though each inhale is probably just making him smell everyone more intensely. When Qing on his right looks more angry than anything else. Wei Wuxian can't see the others, since their chairs are in a circle facing outwards. All the better for the audience to see, but he pastes on a smile for the camera, tilts his neck as a suggestion of bearing it, and remembers to breathe through his mouth. He can feel the tension in his muscles, the ache in his hips, the slick already threatening to escape his ass. But Wei Wuxian is a fucking professional, and he's going to act like it. The glass box rises from the underground bunker, through the ground like they're sacrificial goats in a dinosaur enclosure. There's about half a minute where they're on display, out in the open. The cameras above ground will whir into action. Wei Wuxian knows from previous years, panning out to show the five Omegas, bunched together in a vast battlefield. The thing about the island is that the villa compounds they're kept in for the first part of the season is only one small part of it. The rest of the space could be anything at all. And Wei Wuxian tries not to be fooled by the beautiful sandy beaches that they spent the first part of the show in. It changes every year, but it'll be some sort of mixed terrain, with grassland and forest, ponds and rocky areas most likely. This year they've come out in front of a huge stretch of rock, the type that's long and flat like slate, and Wei Wuxian grimaces internally. If any of them get caught here, the first few matchups are going to be damn uncomfortable. He doesn't want to have to fight or fuck on this rock. On one side, the rock turns into an actual mountainside. On the other, forest. The mountain would probably be easier to defend himself on, but he'll need the resources he can gather in the forest first, especially water of some sort. It's easy to get dehydrated during a heat, since Omegas are burning a couple of degrees above normal body temperature. And more than one contestant has had to be airlifted out of the finale due to sunstroke, since Omegas in heat aren't exactly good at gauging just how off their core temperature is. That's about as much as Wei Wuxian gets to think over before the glass box disassembles and slides back into the floor, and all of their restraints unclamp. He collectively hears them all inhale sharply as fresh air floods their lungs and the pheromones dissipate into the air to tempt the alphas over. He grabs the rucksack on the back of his chair, which is filled with basic survival supplies. No one wants to see any of the Omegas die of hunger on this show. That would be barbaric. Death by fighting or fucking or being caught between two alphas is a different story, of course. That's entertainment. Wei Wuxian doesn't say anything to the other Omegas. They all said their good lucks and well wishes below ground. In the few minutes snatched before their every move, every breath would be broadcast to the world. And legs it towards the forest instead. He paces himself like a middle distance runner. The Omegas get a 20-minute head start, so he doesn't need to be the fastest right now. He can conserve a bit of energy for when he gets found. But he does need to make the best of his 20 minutes. The easiest way to make it through the first 24 hours is to strike up an alliance. Some sort of pact where several contestants agree to work together to set up the basic necessities. Shelter, clean water, safety. Some people who have been clearly coupling up already during the season might go off together quickly. It gets tricky. There's all sorts of strategy that Wei Wuxian has heard over the years about whether to knot early to break the pesky heat or whether to delay the knot and use the smell of the heat as a distraction, etc., etc. He sticks to the same strategy every year. It's sort of his brand now. To go off as the lone wolf. But it's also because nothing good ever comes of alliances. No alpha is going to want to pair up with him when he's not interested in knotting, and getting a group of Omegas together would be like rounding up all the prey together for the alphas to target. All right, he says out loud, as soon as he's pulled away from the others a bit. Let's remember what we need, Water first. To the public, Wei Wuxian has a bit of a habit of talking to himself. Some viewers find it endearing. Others find it helpful. A fascinating glimpse into what's running through a contestant's head as they go. There are regular media snippets interspersed in the broadcast, of course. But those are all filmed beforehand. And it's not the kind of reality TV show where the producers can do talking head interviews during the event. In reality, Wei Wuxian no more has a habit of talking to himself than Wei Wuxian is his real name. This is part of what being a career Omega is, knowing the audience, giving them what they want, creating good TV. And he knows that when he narrates little snippets of what he's doing, he pulls in more viewers onto his live stream. especially newer viewers who are trying to figure out what's happening instead of just watching 3 hours of aimless bushwhacking. More viewers on his personal cam stream makes the sponsors take notice, which means he's more likely to get airdrops and so on. He doesn't tell them everything, of course. His usual checklist of things includes figuring out a water supply, finding a weapon, finding something that really stinks, and finding somewhere he can fuck himself in private. Not necessarily in that order. The viewers don't need to know any of this, apart from the first one. There's an empty shack tucked into the edge of the forest. It doesn't look like anyone has gotten this far yet. It's not, obviously, a real abandoned house, but a completely new shack built for the purpose of this arena that's trying to look dilapidated, which means it's artistically missing roof tiles and one of the windows is broken, but the doors don't creak and things aren't covered in a layer of dust. It feels surreal, like a house preserved for a museum or something. But Wei Wuxian has come across a couple of similar structures in previous years, so it weirds him out less than it would otherwise. It's well situated, near the river that Wei Wuxian has just dragged himself out of. He's glad he found it quickly. Being able to wash off his smell is more useful for delaying an alpha from finding him than anything else. The easiest tactic for an alpha at the start is to sniff around the chairs where the omegas come up and then follow the trail. He'd stripped naked, pulling the stash of his robes loose and letting them slide down his shoulders, his torso, his hips. Because never let it be said that Wei Wuxian doesn't know that this is a reality TV show. And then scrubbed himself off, wading up the river. The downside of that is that he's now cold as balls. So it's a good thing he found this shack. He closes the door and props a chair behind it as he surveys the contents. It's like looting a house in a video game. He checks all the furniture and inside the vases, where he finds a bundle of rope and a hand-powered flashlight. Nice! There's a hand towel, which he uses to mostly wipe himself dry before sticking in his bag. The fridge is out of place and unplugged because it's not like there's electricity here, but he does find some food packages inside, which is useful too. Not a bad haul. Other than that, there's not much else Wei Wuxian can take with him, so he turns to the mattress instead. He'd probably never use a mattress on the floor of a real abandoned house. Who knows what might have died or fucked in it? Ew. But since it's a new mattress pretending to be an old one, it's probably fine. There's the little hum of a camera drone that's following him. This, too, is something that Wei Wuxian is used to, and he's going to rely on it now. He pretends not to notice it. People prefer it if he seems candid, like they're spying in on something illicit that they're not supposed to see. He rubs himself all over and stretches out his muscles before they get cold from the swimming and cold water, and then flops over onto the mattress. "Getting warm already," he says, ostensibly to himself. Blasted heat. It's useful to remind people that he's in heat. That means it's less of a surprise when he rolls onto his back and pulls his knees up to bare his asshole. He touches his asshole, and his fingertip comes away wet. The worst of the slick had got washed away in the river, but his body is already producing it again. He teases himself, running his finger around his rim a few times before punching two fingers all the way in, hard and fast. He grunts, asshole clenching around his fingers. It hurts momentarily, but it's what he needs. There are going to be omegas who try and push through the heat, trying not to distract themselves. But Wei Wuxian finds it better to give in to the need a couple of times a day. Unsatisfying, because his body is craving a knot and not his fingers. But enough to take the edge off so he can keep going with a clear head. Wei Wuxian fucks himself with his fingers until it's like he never washed himself at all. He's wet and open, and two fingers are not enough to fill him. Three isn't really either, but he can't comfortably do four from this angle. And it's best not to give the audience everything in the first go anyway. His slick makes his hand slide in smooth, and he moans in frustration, just wanting a bit of friction right now. It squelches as he pumps his fingers in and out, dribbling down the crack of his ass, until he comes with a cry, half muffled as he turns his face into his shoulder. He keeps his fingers in, pressed up tight against his prostate, a poor substitute for a knot, until his thighs stop shuddering. He exhales. This might be the only time this week that he'll have the luxury of doing this without an alpha already tracking him down. So Wei Wuxian lets him have the extra 2 minutes to come back to himself. And then he smears his hand clean on the mattress, useful for aggravating any alphas who are attracted by the smell of it and expecting to find him inside. When he gets up, his asshole is still dripping. The inside of his thighs are smeared with slick, and it's starting to get uncomfortably sticky between his ass cheeks. Wei Wuxian sighs gustily. "I need something to keep all of this inside me," he says woefully as he cleans himself off. Hopefully his fans will take the hint and quickly put together an airdrop for him that includes a plug. His body would prefer a dildo, a big one with a knotted base that will do more than his fingers, but still less than a real knot, sadly. But the plug is more practical. If he can't stop his body from dripping all the time, he can at least stop himself from dripping all over the place. It's tempting to stay in the shack, but Wei Wuxian also knows that's an easy way to get caught, which is great for anyone looking to get mated, but not so much for him. So he keeps moving. He finds a tree branch that's a decent size to use as a staff and a club. He rubs himself against three different trees to fuck up anyone who might be trying to track him, and breaks into one of the packages to find a bag of mandarins and a durian. Ka-ching! He holds it up so the camera can see it clearly. He eats the mandarins and smears half of the durian all over himself. It fucking reeks. It won't stop alphas from smelling him, but it might make them think the smell is so revolting he's not worth pursuing. Oh, castor bean plants. Worth trying to memorize all those poisonous plants after all, says Wei Wuxian when he spots some lobed leaves with a nice tinge of red. He strips the plant of as many seeds as he can before heading towards the mountain terrain to check it out. He's probably been in the forest area for just over an hour. He's not the best at telling time by the sun, especially when he's under the cover of trees. But he doesn't want to still be here when the sun sets, which will be soon. Most of the other contestants will probably be here at night. The forest is just more comfortable than trying to find somewhere to sleep on rock. But that means that everyone will be clustered here, and that's when the real action will begin. Not that Wei Wuxian is opposed to real action. He's certainly seen enough of it in his time here. But he'd prefer it if the remaining competing alphas were whittled down to a more manageable 10, or even 8 first. He reckons that Hoisang is going to have a few chasing after him. That'll take them out of the hunt for him, at least. He crosses paths with scents a few times, some alpha and some omega, and doubles round to avoid them, smearing durian onto the foliage every so often. "If you can't tell, I really like to fuck with everyone's sense of smell," he murmurs to the drone. Wei Wuxian reaches the edge of the forest area and scans the patch of flat rock they came out near. There are a few suspicious stains, no one in sight. He legs it across and heads towards the mountainside. It's not steep enough to be considered rock climbing, but Wei Wuxian does have to use both his hands and feet to get up the first bit, before what appears to be a path starts to wind up. No hint of anyone else's scent yet, and his durian odor is holding up. He finds a nice, sheltered ledge, big enough for him to lie down on and not be seen from below. It's not protecting him from the wind at the moment, since it's coming from the opposite direction, but that means he'll smell anyone on their approach instead, which is more helpful right now. There doesn't seem to be anyone around, and he takes a moment to chow down a light meal as he scans the terrain. From here, he can see a solid patch of forest, the area he came through, which breaks out into a more open area of fields on the other side, and then backs onto the rocky hill that he's on now. He catalogs his options. The hill is good high ground, but there's no maneuver space if someone comes up, and he'll have to go down for food and water. The forest is good cover, especially with the high blasting sun, but difficult for him to see other people coming. The coastline will be useful if he wants to fish, and a good fighting ground if he needs it, but it's too open for him to want to deal with it right now. It's a good island. He admires it impassively. There have been other seasons where the finale was spent with the contestants covered in mud and their own slick, miserable and rained on and not at all remotely sexy fighting for the whole time. For now, he can stay here. He's got a list of things to do for his live stream. As a solo Omega who's largely trying to stay away from everyone else, his feed runs the risk of getting boring, and if people switch onto other contestants' feeds, then that also affects the sponsorships, viewership, likelihood of getting a gift package, etc., etc. It's getting to the point where his body is complaining for another orgasm anyway, so he might as well bust out a few of the more vanilla things in his repertoire. It's largely unspoken that Wei Wuxian is known for essentially running a sex cam for views. But, well, that is what people tune into the finale for. He's just more open about it. By the third day, it's getting pretty lonely. Wei Wuxian smells the traces of other people passing back and forth as he moves around, never staying in one place too long. There are streaks of blood every so often. There's a suspiciously muddy patch and an otherwise dry stretch of dirt, suggesting that at least one couple have knotted up already. Near evening, when he's halfway through climbing up a tree to see if he might want to hammock himself into it for the night, he spots Lan Wangji doing much the same thing, except halfway up a cliff face. It's not a big cliff, but it's still a cliff. Wei Wuxian actually stops for a hot second to watch and admire it. He must be a seasoned climber, packed power from his thighs pushing through into his toes as he jumps for a handhold that's just a little out of reach otherwise. He has some sort of stick, wedge thing that Wei Wuxian doesn't know the technical name of, which he uses to carabiner himself onto and then proceeds to set up some sort of tiny hammock tent bag contraption right in the middle of the cliff. What the heck? And Wei Wuxian thought he was pretty good at survival skills. It's also pretty impressive that he got hold of that equipment so quickly. There's sometimes climbing stuff in the random drops or hidden stashes, but Wei Wuxian has never bothered with it, so Lan Wangji must have looked around until he found some, or had a care package dropped in almost immediately. Damn, how rich is he? The care package options that viewers can contribute towards aren't cheap. Lan Wangji finishes fixing up his tent, and then scales up the rest of the cliff, peeking his head over the top before pushing himself up with an impressive display of shoulder strength. He stands and surveys the scene quickly, and locks eyes with Wei Wuxian. Wei Wuxian waves from where he's still sort of hanging from a tree branch, points at the tent thing, and gives him a thumbs up. It's too far for him to be able to tell what Lanwek Ji's expression is, but he nods a bit, maybe, and then turns into the patch of trees at the top of the cliff. Wei Wuxian hopes that didn't scare him off. It's not like Wei Wuxian is the one interested in shanking him in the middle of the night to eliminate the competition anyway. It's just the other alphas he's got to look out for. Anyway, he goes back to climbing his tree, which seems pitifully low in comparison to that cliff face now, and finds a good intersection with a wide branch that he can mostly sleep on, surrounded by enough foliage that he won't be immediately visible from the ground, and proceeds to set himself up there. He can still kind of see the cliff from here, so he sees when Lanwek Ji climbs back down, this time a bag slung over his shoulder that he previously wasn't carrying, filled with supplies. "That's impressive," Wei Wuxian murmurs to himself, and the 50,000 people watching his live stream. It's a shame he's not interested in nodding with anyone. He seems very competent. Good at the survival thing. Fuck, I hope someone fights him. Not because I want to see him lose, you know, but because I want to see him fight. He seems like he'd be good at it. Silent but deadly, that sort of thing. It's getting dark now. Exactly the reason Wei Wuxian had chosen to strap himself up for the night, before he lost the ability to see what he was doing, and likely the same reason Lanwek Ji is already settled in his tent. So Wei Wuxian settles down for the night. There's always something, some major disruption, that the production crew used to stir up shit. And getting a nap at 9 p.m. and being woken at 2 a.m. is better than not getting any sleep at all. He's right. Right on schedule. Wei Wuxian feels the difference in the wind and opens his eyes in the darkness. His back is aching, unsurprising given that he's sleeping tied to a tree, and his ass is throbbing in need of a knot, and he's sweating in his layers. He doesn't know what's happened yet, but he unties his safety rope and gets himself ready. 3 years ago, it was swords. Every contestant had been given a sword, like they were in some kind of wuxia show. There had been a lot of injuries. It turns out that using sharp objects without practice was a bad idea. Who knew? There had been enough injuries that viewers had taken to the internet forums to complain that there were too many injuries and not enough sexy naked wrestling ending in sex. Yes, Wei Wuxian is very aware that this show is deeply fucked up. That's why it's so popular. 2 years ago, it had been a surprise drop of rope products. Wei Wuxian assumed it was a product placement of some sort, but little packets had been parachuted across the island, filled with lengths of rope, rope nets, rope harnesses, rope nooses, the lot. That had quickly turned into carnage. And last year, they had shipped in 5 new alpha contestants to up the ante. He waits. Whatever it was just happened. The shift in the wind was the tell that something was in the sky. Lots of somethings. In fact, if he listens hard enough, he can tell the slight hum of rotor blades. They're very faint, so it's not a helicopter. But they're ever so slightly louder than the drones that follow them around. And then he hears it. The thwip, thwip of things falling through the sky. There's a rustle of leaves near him as something falls through the trees. He stays put for long enough, using the cover of the tree in case something hits him on the head, and he's getting ready to shimmy down the tree to see what it was when it finds him first. A pungent punch of pheromones hits him in the face, undiluted, and he reels backwards, almost falling off the branch. He gasps for fresh air and only inhales another lungful of the stuff. His body reacts physiologically to it. He can feel the slick swelling up in his ass, his saliva glands activating as his mouth fills with drool. His nipples harden until they rub uncomfortably against his robes. The hairs on his skin rise, and he starts sweating out pheromones of his own. He feels almost nauseated by how much he needs to get knotted right now. He can't think of anything else. His vision is woozy, and in the darkness, he half climbs, half skids down the tree, scraping skin off his palms as he does so. He lands at the bottom, and his knees buckle for a moment before holding his weight. Wei Wuxian needs to find an alpha. He needs an alpha to fuck him and fill him up. He staggers 2 steps, and the feeling intensifies until his stomach is roiling. That's where the thing hit, he realizes dimly, in the sliver of his mind that's still capable of rational thought. The pheromone bomb. He can smell the faint strains of an alpha in the air, someone who passed by maybe a few hours ago. He follows it like a starving person enticed by a single waft of bread in the air, stumbling over the uneven ground. Off in the distance, he can hear shouting, screaming. He can't tell if it's an alpha or an omega or both. He leans his head against the trunk of a tree, trying to get it to stop spinning for a moment. He's pheromone drunk, he realizes. Realizing it doesn't help. He keeps walking, or more accurately, swaying towards the sounds. At some point, he inhales and realizes that it's a breath of fresh air, not laced with pheromones. He gasps it in, sinking to the ground to give his twitching, overstimulated muscles a moment of relief. He's still drunk. That initial hit already did that to him. But being out of range is a respite, at least. Wei Wuxian is a walking target the way he is at the moment. Anyone coming across him, also bombed with pheromones, would be impossible to reason with or fend off. He has to find shelter, barricade himself in, even from himself, when the urge to crawl out and find someone to knot him overtakes him. No, get off! The shouting that Wei Wuxian has been hearing for a while finally solidifies into words. He hisses at the realization that he hadn't even been able to parse words properly for the last few minutes. It sounds like Xuan Yu, Wei Wuxian realizes, and goes from swaying on his feet to lurching into a run, adrenaline burning the pheromones out of his blood. He can feel it getting stronger when he runs into the radius of another pheromone bomb, the heady scent cloying like oversweet perfume, threatening to choke him. He pants, trying to breathe through his mouth, and his eyes are watering by the time he finally finds Mo Xuan Yu. There's the swing of a small lamp, mostly hidden by the foliage of the branch it's been stuck on, but it's enough to see the swaying shadows. The shouting has stopped, but Wei Wuxian can hear the grunts of a struggle instead, the thick sound of human flesh smacking against muscle. He's almost there. He just has to scrabble up a slight slope, and then he launches himself at whoever it is. There's the sickening pop of some limb or other wrenching out of its socket from Mo Xuan Yu's leg hooked around the back of the alphas. Attaboy. Wei Wuxian had taught him that self-defense move. It's me, shouts Wei Wuxian, as Mo Xuan Yu rears his arm back for another attack. His clothes are dangling off of him, the seam of one shoulder ripped out. The contents of his bag are scattered across the ground, but he seems mostly unharmed otherwise. Come on, he pushes at the other man, peeling him off the ground. Mo Xuan Yu's eyes are wavering in and out of focus, or maybe it's Wei Wuxian's doing the same. But Wei Wuxian grabs the lamp off the tree and tugs him to turn towards where he knows the pheromones aren't as strong. There's a scream from behind them, cracking with rage. Wei Wuxian wouldn't have thought that an alpha could carry on with his leg dislocated, but it's like the drugs have acerbated whatever feral instinct was already there. Go, I'll catch up. Wei Wuxian shoves Mo Xuan Yu in front of him and braces himself for a fight. He can do a fight. The pheromones are fucking with his senses, and his thighs are shaking with the need to just ram something up his ass and get fucked. But if they have that effect on him, they'll have that effect on everyone else too. It levels the playing field. He lowers his center of gravity as he squares off, ready for someone to come running at him. All he has to do is stop them from getting to Xuan Yu. He leans his weight onto the balls of his feet, ready for a sidestep, a trip at the ankles, an elbow to the windpipe, an arm around the face, and a quick jerk to snap the neck. He can see it playing out in his mind's eye. Except someone else gets there first. Wei Wuxian hears it coming from his left and barely steps back in time for a body to charge past him, head and shoulders lowered like a battering ram. It's Nia Mingchue. Wei Wuxian recognizes him through the haze and the blurriness of his eyes. He can only see his back, and his face is half obscured through some sort of cloth tied over the bottom half. But he's the only contestant left with that enormous stacked build. Wei Wuxian gets there just in time to see Mingchue slam into the side of the other alpha without even slowing down, his thighs straining as he heaves them off sideways with a roar. "Damn," swears Mo Xuanyu from somewhere behind Wei Wuxian, which seems to sum up the situation very well. "This way." Wei Wuxian jerks his head away from the alphas still fighting in the underbrush, only about 10 feet to their right, and away from the direction of the closest pheromone bomb dropped. Mo Xuanyu glances back just once before they set off at a brisk walk, both of them still shaking from adrenaline. "I hope Mingchue wins." "I'd bet on him anyway," says Wei Wuxian, trying to keep the conversation light. His stomach is roiling, though, on the unholy cocktail of being in heat, extra pheromones, adrenaline, and alpha scent. There's not going to be anywhere without extra pheromones, Wei Wuxian realizes, as they keep trying to skirt around the affected areas. They must have been spaced out to cover the entire grounds. "I feel sick," groans Xuan Yu quietly, leaning over to dry heave, his body trying to expel the smells in any way it knows how. Wei Wuxian tries not to hear it, because he's this close to doing the same thing himself. It takes him longer to think of the answer than it would normally, his mind trying to catch the wisps of thought that keep wafting away. "Water," he gasps. "The river." They put the lamp out once they've made it a bit away, sacrificing speed for being less noticeable. They've got turned around in the dark, Wei Wuxian no longer entirely sure where they are in relation to the tree he was in, or the cliff face, or where he found Mo Xuanyu. But even senseless lurching around in the dark is better than staying still in one place for too long and risking an alpha tracking them. He tries to keep it together for Mo Xuanyu, though, who's staggering along with the glazed look of someone who got truly spiked. He must have been closer to one of the pheromone bombs than Wei Wuxian was when they were set off. He nearly wilts in relief when he hears the faint sound of the river. "This isn't going to be pleasant." Wei Wuxian strips quickly and dunks himself into the river in one motion, preferring the get-it-over-with approach. He swears his body in heat meeting the cold water actually produces a few sizzling sounds, and he quickly splashes himself all over to get used to it. "I think the shock might just kill me," whispers Xuan Yu, huddling on the bank. He is already shivering alarmingly. I don't think I can do it." Wei Wuxian looks up the river, where he was planning to wade all the way up. He remembers the sound of a waterfall from earlier today. Probably not a big one, but water splashing continuously in the air is probably his best bet for air clean of pheromones. "We should split up anyway," Xuan Yu says quickly, before Wei Wuxian can try and convince him. "Omega packs are the worst idea." Wei Wuxian stares at him from the river. There are things he wants to say, but his head is too muddled. Something about how he feels responsible for Mo Xuanyu. About how Mo Xuanyu stands a better chance of staying alive with Wei Wuxian, even if it's not true the other way around. I know, says Xuanyu quickly. I know, I'll be fine. Wei Wuxian shuts his mouth, opens it again. Wet a cloth, wrap it around your face, he says, croakily, eventually. Helps filter out the pheromones. Mo Xuanyu smiles wobbly at him and does what he's told. And then they split up. Wei Wuxian crouches in the river and wades his way up, holding his bag over one side of the bank to keep it dry, and leaves Mo Xuanyu heading in the opposite direction. Wei Wuxian has made friends on the show before, but he's never cared about anyone who came so close to danger before. Most of the time, they can take care of themselves. It rattles him, he realizes. Maybe he's losing his stomach for this show. The waterfall comes within hearing before Wei Wuxian sees it. The crash of water upon water and rocks. And it's not until the shadow on the bank looms out at him that Wei Wuxian skitters sideways, his socked foot slipping on the edge of a hard rock. Fuck, he swears, tossing his bag onto the bank so that both hands are free. Wei Wuxian. The shadow and the growl resolves itself as Lan Wangji emerging from the darkness. Wei Wuxian gasps. What the fuck?
I heard screaming. I came to help,
says Lan Wangji. There's something odd about him, though, the way that he's standing. Wei Wuxian can't say that he actively noted the effortless posture that Lan Wangji always had, but it's evident now in the lack of it, the way it lists in one direction, weight shifting from one leg to another. Lan Wangji steps forward, an uneven lurch that brings him to the edge of the river, and Wei Wuxian finds himself backing up the mud of the other bank. I'm fine. It was Mo Xuanyu. He's fine too, he explains, a lump in his throat as he watches the gleam of Lan Wangji's eyes tracking him carefully.
You were fine, repeats Lan Wangji,
lurching forward again, one foot into the river.
Really, really?
There's something so unusual about Lan Wangji's behavior that it makes Wei Wuxian want to head in the other direction. He's like a toddler. Or like he's drunk. Oh, shit. It's pheromones. We all got hit with pheromone bombs, says Wei Wuxian carefully. You're not thinking straight. Agrees Lan Wangji.
Feel ghastly.
Wei Wuxian tries not to laugh cry. Yeah, ghastly. That's a good way to put it. Lan Wangji has stopped with one foot in the river. Maybe the coldness got through to him.
You don't need my help, he states almost sadly.
No, not this time. Next time, maybe, says Wei Wuxian.
Next time,
repeats Lan Wangji, closing his eyes and pressing a knuckle in at his temple like he's trying to stave off a migraine.
I don't feel like myself.
He's never experienced this before, Wei Wuxian realizes with sudden clarity. Wei Wuxian is used to being bombarded with scents he has no desire to act upon. The warring desire of his body to submit, to roll over, to get himself fucked, versus his mind. Is your tent still up? Asks Wei Wuxian. It takes him two tries for Lan Wangji to even hear him.
Yes,
Lan Wangji points at it, and now that Wei Wuxian is looking for it, he can see the tent suspended on the side of the cliff. Drugged halfway up to his senses, and Lan Wangji can apparently still scale a cliff. Wei Wuxian will let himself be so impressed once he's not panicking. Do you have a padlock?
Yes.
Okay, go back to your tent, lock yourself in. Don't come out until the smells go away. It's really quite mediocre advice. Wei Wuxian has no doubt that if primal urges came over Lan Wangji and he really wanted to rip himself out of his tent, he would be perfectly capable. But Lan Wangji nods,
pulls his foot out of the river with a schloop sound, and staggers back towards the cliff. Wei Wuxian watches his shadow recede into the distance, until it's just a little silhouette that scales the cliff and disappears into the tent bundle. He exhales. He sets up camp next to the waterfall eventually. It's small as waterfalls go, the height of the water dropping from barely twice Wei Wuxian's height, but it's enough. He dries himself off as best he can and huddles up next to it, close enough that under any other circumstances he'd be annoyed that the spray is keeping him damp and soaked through. But the cleanliness of the air is worth it tonight. He can warm up once the sun rises and the day starts to heat up. He dozes restlessly and wakes up aching from muscles locked in place for too long. He showers directly under the freezing waterfall, taking the opportunity to also wank quickly and efficiently, his heat making him restless but sluggish. It might take him longer than he would like to get going, but Wei Wuxian dries himself off quickly and stretches himself out slowly. Being limber in the finale is important. There won't be time to accommodate a strain or pulled muscle if he needs to get away from someone quick. Also, it gives the drone camera some shots of his ass bobbing in the air after being presumably denied of any exciting alpha wrestling action last night. He's almost done when Lan Wangji approaches, this time in full view, no sneaking up required. He looks much more composed than last night. He averts his eyes as Wei Wuxian wraps his still damp robes around himself. "Morning. You survived the pheromone bombs, then?" asks Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji always looks pretty put together. It's amazing, actually, how clean and neat he can look after camping. But this morning, Wei Wuxian can see a few frayed edges on him. He looks like a man who spent all night in desperate horniness and is trying to pretend he didn't. Wei Wuxian tends to just lean into the whole looking like a hot mess thing.
"Good morning. Thank you for your advice last night. Are you all right?"
"Yep, uncomfortably damp all over, but better than getting snuck up on," Wei Wuxian squelches into his socks. "They'll dry soon enough in the 30-degree weather."
"You slept with wet hair?"
Lan Wangji sounds appalled.
"You'll catch a cold."
The laughter burbles out of Wei Wuxian before he can stop it. "That's what you're worried about. You sound like my Popo." He pauses and considers. "Actually, no. Popo would never say that." The tips of Lan Wangji's ears are going red, which is adorable. "Sorry," says Wei Wuxian. "I didn't mean to. It's very considerate of you. But you have to admit, sleeping with wet hair is really not the worst thing to happen to any of us on this program."
"I suppose so," concedes Lan Wangji.
The conversation starts to falter. Wei Wuxian is just about fully dressed, and he needs to start moving before the coolness of his clothes starts sapping warmth from his muscles.
"Stay safe," says Lan Wangji eventually.
"You too. You're not planning on just hanging out there for 2 weeks, are you?" Wei Wuxian nods towards the little hanging tent. From the carefully blank look on his face, that's exactly what Lan Wangji planned to do. "Oh, come on. That makes for terrible TV," says Wei Wuxian, biting back his laughter. "Are you sure there aren't any omegas you want to try and not? We're a good bunch this year." Lan Wangji looks down at his feet, then at Wei Wuxian, back at his feet. "Oh shit, is there?"
"I had thought," starts Lan Wangji. "Maybe there was something, but they are unavailable."
"Oh wow, maybe this show really does work. Even stoic Lan Wangji, who had no interest in anyone 4 weeks ago, has found someone that he might like." "That's rough," says Wei Wuxian. "Keep trying, though. You're totally a catch." Running is the option most Omegas go for when they're being chased. Wei Wuxian tries not to, because the ground is usually littered with rocks and fallen branches, and stuff that is catnip for sprained ankles. That only holds true if it's an alpha chasing him, though. Forest fires, on the other hand? Yeah, he's sort of got to try and outrun that. The weather's been dry and hot and, frankly, stunning after that first storm in the early weeks. Which, of course, means that the fire leaps easily from dry tree branch to dry tree branch. Dimly, Wei Wuxian wonders if this was deliberate. Burning their contestants alive isn't in the name of the game, though. Ratings are much higher from watching two people kill each other face-to-face rather than watching some natural disaster happen to them. Wei Wuxian's never dealt with a forest fire before, but he's adaptable. He has transferable skills on his resume. He's looking for one of three things. The wide stream that comes in from the beach, the edge of the forest leading onto the beach itself, or a stretch of land that has no vegetation, so beach or stone or something. He's kept a fairly good mental outline of where things are in the week or so he's been out here now. The ideal direction to run in would be towards the villas, since they were right on the beach. But he's on the wrong side of the island for that. He's got to hope that if he keeps going in this direction, he'll get to the other end of the island and hit the sea on the other side. He can hear shouting. It's to the side of him, not towards the fire, but not away from it either. Shit, he can't leave people here. He can kill them quickly, yeah, but leaving anyone to burn alive would be horrific. And it might be another Omega. He really hopes it's not Huaisang or Mo Xuanyu. It's not, but the alternative isn't much better. He sees Lan Wangji and Wang Lingjiao, who's the one shouting. She's raising her hands and trying to hit him, like a little hammer beating on his shoulders. And he grabs her by both wrists and holds her away from him. He says something, but Wei Wuxian is too far away to hear what. Hey! He shouts, voice muffled by the smoke and heat. Get out of here, the fire's gonna catch up soon. Wang Lingjiao makes to hit Lan Wangji again, when someone steps in and she stops. Fuck, Wei Wuxian didn't even see Wen Xu in the shadows there. He hefts something in both hands and swings. This time, Wei Wuxian hears the crack when the wood beam he's holding makes contact with Lan Wangji's leg. Lan Wangji sways and drops to one knee. Wen Xu swings Wang Lingjiao over his shoulder and is gone by the time Wei Wuxian sprints forward. Lan Wangji, are you all right? Smoke rushes into Wei Wuxian's mouth when he opens it. Stupid, but he couldn't help himself. He coughs out once and puts his sleeve over his face again. Lan Wangji is still crouched over, his face hidden from Wei Wuxian, but he can see his back heaving. Come on, says Wei Wuxian, trying to project through the fabric. The fire's getting closer. He reaches out so Lan Wangji can see him before he makes contact, and then slings one of his arms over Wei Wuxian's shoulder and pulls him upright. It's easy to keep track of where the fire is, the red and yellow crackling a constant flicker at the side of his vision. They hobble forward, and it's lucky that Wei Wuxian is slightly shorter than Lan Wangji. They seem to fall into step relatively easily, and Wei Wuxian can tell that Lan Wangji is trying not to hold him back, even on one leg. They keep going towards the sea. The island isn't that big. It's got to be close. But Wei Wuxian can see something looming in the shadows, too solid to be trees, which means that they're going to get cut off on this path. There, says Lan Wangji suddenly, tapping Wei Wuxian on the shoulder and then pointing. He squints, trying to see past the smoke and the shadows, until the blacks become layered. A cave, excellent, says Wei Wuxian, veering them towards it with renewed vigor. Let me scout ahead and see how big it is first. If it's too small, it won't protect us from the fire. We'll just get cooked inside or suffocate when it burns all the oxygen. Lan Wangji nods, possibly, and props himself up on the stretch of stone that rises above them. Deliciously cool stone that Wei Wuxian takes a moment to press against his fire-warmed and heat-warmed skin. while Wei Wuxian heads into the cave. It's a small opening that only goes up to his shoulders, which will be annoying if that's the height all the way in, but still better than being roasted alive. Historically, caves have been great places to hide. The production team pick a different locale each year for the show so that previous contestants don't have a terrain advantage. But still, historically, any caves available have been great places to hide. Wei Wuxian doesn't like to stay in them for too long. Anything that only has one entrance also only has one exit. But this one is much bigger than anything he's ever been in. He hadn't even thought that islands like this would have such large caves. It's a shame he's only having this thought after he wriggled through the entrance and then discovered that the ground slid sharply downwards and he'd rolled straight down it and now he can't get back up. Under any normal circumstances, Wei Wuxian would be panicking more. Something along the lines of, oh shit, I'm going to die here. However, Lan Wangji knows he's here, and a tiny little camera drone had almost immediately followed him in. So, worst case scenario is that he needs to be rescued at the end of the show, which is embarrassing, but at least not life-threatening.
Wei Wuxian.
Wei Wuxian can hear the cry faintly from above. I'm fine, he calls back, swinging his electric torch around, so Lan Wangji can locate him. The entrance goes down pretty steeply, just wasn't expecting it. I don't know if I can get back up. You probably shouldn't come down. Oh, he came down already. At least he'd heard the bit about the entrance going down. Lan Wangji had seated himself and slid down smoothly, his injured leg cradled up out of the way with one arm. And now we're both stuck down here, he murmurs.
We still need shelter from the fire, Lan Wangji reminds him, and looks up at the entrance to where Wei Wuxian can see flashes of red and orange already peeking in.
He's wearing a headlamp. Damn, Wei Wuxian can't believe that in 4 years of doing this show, he's never thought to ask for a headlamp. It would have freed his hands up so many times. On the other hand, hard to make a headlamp sexy. Yeah, at least this place seems pretty big and solid stone. Here, says Wei Wuxian, helping Lan Wangji back up. Let's take stock of our options before we do anything. The cave is way bigger on the inside than it appeared to be on the outside. It stretches downwards into the earth, surrounding them with rock on all sides. It echoes, their footsteps reverberating over and over back at them. On the plus side, Wei Wuxian can't hear anything else in the echoes. No animal noises or ominous dripping of unknown water, which is great. They walk through the first chamber, where a tunnel leads into a second. This one has a lake inside it. I knew we had to be close to the sea, says Wei Wuxian, trying to see if the lake opens out anywhere directly. It looks like it doesn't, which means its water source is from somewhere at the bottom of the lake, which is a shame. Okay, well, this doesn't feel like a bad spot to take stock of our situation. We're one cave removed from the forest fire, we have water, and it's late. I say we stay here for the night and then figure out what to do after some sleep. The show doesn't like their contestants getting too much sleep. Wei Wuxian knows this, has always known this. Anything that adds a bit more pressure on the contestants and throws their decision-making and reflexes off makes for more exciting television. But he honestly didn't expect a second natural disaster right on the heels of the first. Oh, we're going to die here, he says, far too calmly given that the cave is, well, caving in. Lan Wangji is heaving himself to his feet, and Wei Wuxian hurries up so that he can steady him.
The other side, says Lan Wangji tersely.
Wei Wuxian is going to have to trust that he knows what he's talking about, because while he has pretty decent survival knowledge, not much of it is to do with spelunking. He just helps Lan Wangji hop in the direction that he's pointing, not stopping until Lan Wangji looks around them and nods.
"Smaller caverns are less likely to sustain damage," says Lan Wangji as he leans against the wall of the small niche in the wall they're ensconced in.
"Oh, like doorways," says Wei Wuxian. It looks like it takes Lan Wangji a moment to make the same connection, but he nods.
"Similar concept."
"How did the production crew even engineer an earthquake?" asks Wei Wuxian, looking out across at the cavern, from which occasional bits of rubble are falling from the top.
"It's not an earthquake. The ground isn't shaking," says Lan Wangji.
"Oh. Well, what is it then?" says Wei Wuxian mulishly. He pulls himself back, straight after that comes out. He can tell when he's starting to lose his grip on himself. Between the heat and the exhaustion and the everything. Exactly like the show wants him to do. He breathes in and out. It's not Lan Wangji's fault he didn't notice the ground shaking. And it's certainly not his fault that Wei Wuxian is feeling irrational embarrassment at getting a small detail wrong. It's luck, really, that Wei Wuxian is with someone who answers evenly instead of letting Wei Wuxian's tension rile him up.
"Possibly a landslide somewhere above us. The fire might have affected some of the island's infrastructure."
There's nothing to do but wait it out. Every so often, the ceiling rumbles, and they hear the sound of rubble thudding to the ground. "It looks like it's subsiding," says Wei Wuxian dubiously, peering out as far as they can see with his torch and Lan Wangji's headlamp.
"No," says Lan Wangji tersely. "It means that..."
The rest of his words are drowned out with a horrendous groaning noise that sounds like rock is being ripped apart above them. A terrible grating sound that escalates into a cacophony of rocks falling in the back of the cavern. The sound getting closer and closer to them until Wei Wuxian realizes what's going to happen next, sees it happen almost in slow motion. He throws himself over Lan Wangji, still leaning against the wall, and braces himself just in time for a chunk of the cavern to collapse into the lake with a crack. The enormous tidal wave after that surging up across the cavern to smack Wei Wuxian against the back. He gasps with the cold, the wetness, the impact, and staggers forward into Lan Wangji's chest as it recedes.
"Wei Wuxian."
Lan Wangji stares at him with wide eyes. His headlamp is kind of blinding Wei Wuxian. Wei Wuxian sags to the floor, Lan Wangji half catching him, half getting dragged down at the same time. He wants to say something, to reassure Lan Wangji that he's fine, but the water punched all the air out of his lungs and he's gasping for it, and his entire back feels like it's been whipped and all of his ribs feel cracked and his head feels woozy, so he's probably not fine, actually.
"Okay,"
he wheezes, because he is nothing if not stubborn. And then he passes out. He only passes out for like a second, though, so does it even count? His body just got a bit indignant at everything he's been putting it through, and getting a full body slap from a tidal wave was the last straw, and he just needed to do a soft reset, and now he's fine.
"It would have been bad if that hit your broken leg with full force," he says weakly, once the white spots in his vision fade.
Lan Wangji is hovering over him furiously.
"Stop staring at me like that. Would it be better if we were both completely soaked in a cave?"
The fact that Lan Wangji is vibrating with anger but not actually saying anything is a good sign, Wei Wuxian decides. It means that he's right, but Lan Wangji doesn't want to admit it. Probably. Lan Wangji's headlamp is the only light they have left. Wei Wuxian had dropped his torch, and it had been washed away when the water receded. And a good amount of their stuff is soaking wet.
It takes a couple of hours for Wei Wuxian to realize why Lan Wangji is so worried. Because he's realized that's what the anger is. Concern. It's new to him, in his defense. Caves are a whole different beast to camping. The cold stone leeches warmth away from his body when he tries to sit down. Same when he tries to lean against the wall. Being wet makes it all the worse. Even in his heat, Wei Wuxian can feel his body warmth being sapped away quicker than he can generate it. They've wrung his clothes out as best they can, but the thin material that makes it perfect for running around in the sunny outside is terrible insulation when he needs it. Again, better me than you, retorts Wei Wuxian when Lan Wangji looks angry again. At least my body is naturally running a few degrees higher than normal at the moment. At least the landslide seems to have subsided. The last cave-in, the worst of the lot. Wei Wuxian had taken the headlamp and gone to see the damage, reasoning that the movement would help keep him warm. It's not until he steps out of range that he realizes that part of what's keeping him on edge is Lan Wangji's alpha scent. He breathes in air that smells of stone dust and nothing else as he slowly unclenches his stomach. It must be 100 times worse for Lan Wangji with Wei Wuxian in heat. A sudden stab of desire courses through his gut, and Wei Wuxian sways forward with a groan, steadying himself against the wall.
Wei Wuxian?
Of course Lan Wangji had heard it. Nothing, he calls back, taking a moment to wipe the sweat off his upper lip. He's just going to have to clench his ass and try to stop the slick escaping. The entire far end is gone, he reports back after an extended walk around, coming back when the breeze, caused by his own body walking around, is too much for him to bear. Yes, he's aware that it is probably a very bad sign. The lake is flooding a good chunk of the bit we were in, but it looks like the way we came in is unaffected. And dry. Looks like the entrance is still clear, too. And the fire has been dealt with. I couldn't see any orange or yellow through it in any case. He's out of breath by the time he finishes. Out of breath just from speaking.
You should leave me here, says Lan Wangji once they relocate to a drier cave. I have some climbing equipment you could make.
Yeah, no, says Wei Wuxian, nearly biting through his tongue with his clattering teeth.
Ridiculous, says Lan Wangji, scowling. You're going to catch a cold. Your hair is wet.
Despite himself, Wei Wuxian smiles, especially since, more realistically, he's already far bypassed the common cold and is well on his way to hypothermia. This again. Such a mother, Lan Wangji. I'll make a fire. He's not going to say it, but it's a relief to have someone else here. Being alone and paranoid about being in the presence of anyone else for 2 whole weeks is the worst part of the hot or not finale. So it's good to have some company. Wei Wuxian would rather not have to break his other leg to throw Lan Wangji off, but he will if he has to. And if any of the alphas were to go stir crazy from the amount of pheromones of being trapped in an enclosed space with an omega in heat and lose control, Lan Wangji's a good choice of a bad option. He's already dragged himself so that he's sitting upstream of Wei Wuxian. Don't think Wei Wuxian hasn't noticed.
I'll be fine, says Lan Wangji again.
Wei Wuxian starts sifting through the rubble on the ground to find fallen tree branches and twigs. It's a meager selection, but it gives him something to focus on. He can't feel his feet anymore, which is worrying, since that probably means something is seriously wrong, but actually kind of useful, because that means they've stopped with the stabs of pain with every step he takes. You're going to lose, he says eventually.
Oh, the shame, says Lan Wangji,
so dryly that Wei Wuxian doesn't even register it as deadpan for a moment. And then the laugh punches its way out of his chest, making him drop half his branches. Ow, that actually hurt. Wei Wuxian coughs, clearing the phlegm from his lungs. Oh, that's not a good sign on the pneumonia front.
Fuck me, you're not allowed to be that funny, he gasps.
I apologize, says Lan Wangji,
and there might be the ghost of a smile in the corner of his lips. Wei Wuxian picks up all of his wood again and waits for the pain in his chest to subside and the rattling sound of his breathing to be less noticeable. I know you're not bothered about losing, but there's still 4 days left, he says eventually, picking out two pieces of wood that look like they'd be straight enough to use as a splint. Having a broken leg this far away from the end usually means you'll either get worse injuries or you won't survive until the end. And if you do survive, your leg will be fucked forever.
No one's going to bother to fight me. I haven't knotted anyone, and I won't be trying to poach anyone.
Wei Wuxian sweeps the twigs into the space between them and starts arranging. A lot of these are a bit damp from all the water splashing around, but maybe they'll dry out by the time he needs to feed the fire again. He rummages around in his pack for his lighter and manages to get a tiny spark going before he speaks again. I'll go if you want me to after this. I know having an Omega near you puts you in trouble if people start smelling me. But first, let me sort out this fire and help set your leg.
Thank you, says Lan Wangji.
He's quiet for a long time.
I didn't mean to make it sound like I didn't want you here.
Wei Wuxian holds out two pieces of wood he'd picked out earlier. Lan Wangji hesitates for a moment before leaning forward to take them from him. Their fingers brush. Wei Wuxian can see it, but his hands are too cold to feel it. It was ambiguous in the end, Wei Wuxian decides, as to whether Lan Wangji wanted him to go after all. And muscle-aching tiredness is creeping up on him, and he's cold and numb, and the little flicker of warmth from the fire feels good, and he feels nauseous if he moves too much. Probably something to do with how his heat is trying to heat him up feverishly, and whatever concoction of hypothermia / pneumonia is cooling him down, and he drops off before he even notices it. He'll go in the morning if Lan Wangji wants him to.